Eric Macias is a PhD candidate at SUNY Albany in the Latin American and Caribbean Latino and Latina Studies Department. He's currently working in Maryland on his dissertation project. I spoke to him about the work he's doing.
I'm documenting young people that do not finish high school, or in some cases, they don't even go to high school when they arrive in the country. So like the dissertation kind of working title is Dropout and Undocumented, Racialized, Criminalized Latinx Youth Negotiating Spaces of Belonging. And it's an ethnography, very small number. So right now I have 9 participants, and I follow them for a while. I've interviewed them quite a lot over the past over a year now. And the project is based out of Montgomery County, Maryland, which is right next to Washington, D.C. And the idea is to kind of look at the way that unauthorized youth who were mainly born in Central America and now live in Montgomery County, Maryland, how they challenge the negative stigmas about themselves and how they find inclusion and belonging in a context nationally where there's a lot of conversations that are, you know, based on anti-immigrant sentiment, especially anti-immigrant youth sentiment, right? Like if we think of the Trump administration talking a lot about all these bad gang youth coming into the country, as if every young person that came from Central America is part of a gang, right? So I look at young people that are 17 to 24 years old, and I ask kind of 3 questions in my study that I'm thinking about is like, what happened to these young people when they're not in school, right? Like we perceive young people as always having a safe space in school, but like, what's the story when they're not in school, right? When they're not even welcome there, especially in Montgomery County, Maryland, which is considered kind of a sanctuary-like community or locality. And the discourse is very welcoming of immigrants, but on paper, things don't play out that same way. Because the project is so focused on the young people themselves, then I kind of gather their stories and kind of gather how they themselves define belonging and this idea of encajar, which is kind of something that I've been kind of thinking about, which for them is not necessarily about belonging, but more about fitting. But yeah, overall, the idea is how these young people navigate different spaces in order to find like a place where they can fit in and they belong and they can find inclusion.
So what conclusions are you drawing or what are you developing from your interviews?
One, it's about their agency. And I think there's a lot of literature in immigration and youth or immigrant youth that kind of thinks of as young people as kind of luggages and kind of carryovers of their parents. And often kind of dismiss the young people's agency and story. And I think what I'm finding here, just focusing so much on the young people, is that they are able to use their own story, their own struggles, and their own experiences, and flip it a little bit, not necessarily in this kind of, look, I'm coming from an underdeveloped country, please give me a chance, but rather like, look, I deserve to be here and I provide a really good thing for this community. And they do that in multiple ways. And one is through work and one is through relationships. Another cool thing that I'm finding is that there are spaces that kind of lend themselves to be friendly and welcoming of young people, despite the fact that many of those spaces are kind of racialized spaces themselves. So like a skate park, for instance, or there's a couple of skate parks and a couple of the participants are skaters. And this has become kind of a cool theme of how these racialized or like usually racialized and criminalized spaces are spaces where they find this common ground with others and a potential to belong. So that's really cool. In a soccer field that does something similar to that as the skate park, and GED classrooms or like GED programs. which are again racialized spaces, because majority of the people in GED programs are people of color, right? Young adults of color. Another one is this transnational thing that I'm looking at is that their stories are, you know, we see them here as dropouts, and the word dropout has a negative connotation or a negative stigma, and it has historically. And some of the reasons why they flee or why they leave or why they migrate from their countries are some of the reasons. But their parents don't want them to become, you know, these street kids, gang members, et cetera, all this kind of bad language, bad labels. And then when they get here, they get those same labels because they end up as quote-unquote dropouts. So they kind of pick up all this stigma that label brings. So I look at where that starts in their countries and, you know, how he ends up being a racialized and criminalized identity that they have to carry over.
Can you tell me more about the concept of encajar that you mentioned?
Well, many of the interviews are in Spanish or Spanglish and English for some of the young people, but many of them use that word of encajar, or that verb in Spanish, which means to kind of fit correctly, or like kind of neatly, if you will. So I like the way that they're using that that word or that verb instead of belonging. I think a lot of scholars have talked about belonging kind of as a synonymous of assimilating. And I always feel like that doesn't quite fit for the young people that I am working with. So I'm starting to think about this encajar word to kind of express their experiences, because they don't necessarily feel like they totally belong, right? They feel like outsiders all the time. They always feel like targets. They always feel racialized. They always feel criminalized. So that doesn't sound like belonging, right? That kind of sounds quite the opposite. But they use this term like encajar with a clique of people, with a group of people in the space, with the skateboarders, right, or the soccer players. That they are alike and they connect and they find like they fit in that space in that given time.
As a PhD student, Eric has also taught classes in the LACS department. Falmari, an undergraduate student, spoke about the impact that his teaching had on them.
It was specifically like Eric's class that catalyzed me to change careers. I've been a bio major for the last 4 years and I never felt like I fit in. I always felt like I wasn't good enough, and with this immigration class, actually like learning my history and the history of the U.S., I noticed that I do so much better, and honestly, this class opened my eyes and gave me a new meaning to my life. Eric was like, you have a voice, like we all have a voice, you have a community. In his class, I learned about a Chicano Chicana movement. I never identified as a Mexican, and before, like, I knew my mom was Mexican, but I was here in the U.S. and I wasn't, like, I was U.S. I was a U.S. citizen, not a Mexican. It was just really, like, nice to, like, know that I'm not alone.
Finally, I asked Eric, as the father of two young children, how do you balance your time and responsibilities?
I teach. I work in a research project with Dr. Joanna Drevi. And I do my own research, and I parent, and I do all of those as best as I can, and I plan kind of a week at a time, or sometimes 2 days ahead, just kind of in order to kind of fit it all in. But when it comes to gathering the data, I think sometimes I rely on my son mainly, or sometimes my daughter as well. My son has gone to a couple of observations. He's taking his scooter to the skate park while I'm going there. And he tends to be a great icebreaker. So I kind of use being a parent in that way.
Reporting for Hudson Mohawk Magazine, this is Moses Nagel.